بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. This is the time when my friends in university are getting ready for their exams, and I don't envy the situation that they're in because I remember how I used to feel, and alhamdulillah, at least I don't have that stress and that pressure at the end of the semester. But even if we are past that stage, or even if we haven't gone through that stage or that situation, we should never think, we should never mislead ourselves into thinking that we are done with our tests, we are done with exams, we are done with situations where we are tested. Because Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those who are patient. Give glad tidings to the patient. So these tests that Allah Azza wa Jal is promising for us take different forms for each individual. Some are blessed, while others are less fortunate. Each individual faces difficulties of varying degrees, featuring different types of challenges. Yet the rules of the test are the same. Exert patience when facing difficulties that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent upon you, and be grateful for all of Allah's favors upon you. So even in that situation of difficulty, even while being in a tough situation, be patient and be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal for all of the other favors that He has blessed you with. Ultimately, Allah Azza wa Jal is the most compassionate. He is the most just. And He will never try a person beyond their endurance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never try a person beyond their endurance. Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not charge a soul except with that which is within its capacity. Allah Azza wa Jal does not charge a soul, does not place a burden upon a soul except with that which is within its capacity. And any perceived injustice or unfairness will be corrected, will be rectified in the afterlife, in the akhirah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَنَا بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ, and never will I be unjust to the servants. And never will I be unjust to the servants. Now there's a couple of things to note. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبَلُوَنَّكُمْ, meaning He's addressing all of us, that He's going to test everyone. All of you, everyone is going to get some sort of test, one way or the other. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, He mentions Surah Al-An'am, وَكَذَلِكَ فَتَنَّا بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَكَذَلِكَ فَتَنَّا بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ, referring to a particular situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and thus we have tried some of them through others. Thus we have tried, have tested some of them through others. So this indicates to us that the test is not just for those who are going through the trial or the hardship, but in fact, indirectly or directly, the test could be for others as well. It could be for us, even though we may not be going through the challenge, we may not be going through the difficulty, or we may not be getting the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on someone else. But that, the fact that this other person is going through either this difficulty or this blessing, can also be a test for us as well. So how do we respond? How do we react to the challenge or the blessing that the other person is experiencing? Do we respond or react at all? Or are we indifferent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in that verse, Surah Al-Baqarah, the first one that I recited, وَنَقَصٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. The loss of wealth, lives, and fruit, livelihood, and the risk. So, regarding our lives and our bodies as well, you know, a decrease, deficiency, imperfection related to our wealth, related to our sustenance, the fruit of our toils, of our efforts, and our lives as well. Right? So there can be a decrease in that. There may be some deficiency, there may be some imperfections, things that we do not normally expect, yet they come. We did not plan for them, we did not want them, yet they came upon us. So these are some of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us. These can be totally wiped out, or they may be lacking compared to the expectations or the norm. The loss of lives, diseases, disabilities, all of these can be covered under وَنَقَصٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Today, I want to focus on disabilities. One of the things that we don't have control over is the design of our bodies and what is inside our bodies. Nobody came and asked us before we were born, okay, what kind of body would you like? You know, how much body fat do you want? Do you want to be tall? Do you want to be short? You know, what color do you want to be? Nobody asked us this, right? Nobody has that choice. And similarly, what is inside our body and how our body functions, these are areas that are completely outside of our control. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created some of us with bodies that appear to be perfect from the outside. So people look at a person and say, oh, I wish I could be like him, or I wish I could be like her. But perhaps they appear perfect from the outside but have weaknesses inside that may not be apparent. For example, some people may have weak immune systems. Some people may be feeling pain inside, but it's not apparent. There may be a lack of strength, weakness, which may not be apparent. Or differences in brain functions, in intelligence, in the mind, compared to what is considered to be the norm. Others may be the opposite, so perfect from the inside, but may have elements of weakness that are visible on the outside. So for example, someone may have a missing limb, or may have legs of different lengths, or perhaps a bone with an irregular curve. Still some others may have organs or parts of the body that appear to be perfect, but their functionality is less than 100%. For example, the eyes and the ears. So a person may appear to have perfectly beautiful, handsome, good-looking eyes and very nice ears, but they may not be able to see properly, may not be able to hear properly. Some are born like this by design. Others may have been brought into this state afterwards through an illness or an accident, for example. I was recently reading about a prominent member of parliament, a politician who served as a federal minister as well, and he was talking about how he had all these dreams and aspirations, and he was just going about his daily life in his 20s, and just one day, as he was driving ahead for an event or some activity that he was going to, with all the normal things on his mind that would be on anyone else's mind, he had a terrible crash. Struck a moose. Right? And mooses actually are very dangerous. Deer, maybe not so much. But moose especially, because it's such a heavy animal, and it's so big, it can be very, very deadly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I even wrote a, I remember writing a news story on an emergency room doctor in Montreal, north of Montreal, near the Laurentians, who was heading home after work one day, hit a moose, and he died. So this politician, at that time wasn't a politician, he was driving, hit a moose, left him completely paralyzed from his, below his neck. Right? And even today, he has no feeling of what's below, and is now confined to a wheelchair. Right? So through an illness or an accident, a situation can change very, very quickly for a person, unless Allah Ta'ala protect us. Once the abilities are affected in a major way, we start referring to such people as persons with disabilities. Now, because the majority of people don't appear to have physical disability, when we do come across someone who does, sometimes we don't know how to react or what to do. Or sometimes we just end up being insensitive, even though we didn't mean to be or we don't intend to be. In university, one of my best friends, who's not a Muslim by the way, he was a young man who was born with a disability. He was paraplegic. He couldn't use his feet or hands, was confined to a wheelchair, and he actually was studying journalism like that, and he would have a stick that he would have on the side of his wheelchair that he would pick up with his mouth and use to type. And it was very sad to hear him talk about how people would avoid him when he was out about in the public, taking the bus, coming to school, as if he himself was a disease, or that as if his disability was contagious, that if people got close to him, somehow they would end up becoming like him, which is obviously not true. In many cultures, unfortunately, people with disabilities are shunned, disregarded, ignored, pushed to the fringes of society, unfortunately. If you look at the stories of the prophets and the pious people, pious Muslims, we find great stories that show inclusiveness. Prophet Musa alayhi salam had a speech impediment. وَحْلُ لُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي أَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. He made a dua. Oh Allah, please remove this impediment from my speech. Ayyub alayhi salam went through a number of challenges and trials, right, which affected how he was and what he was able to do. There's a famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by the name of Abdullah ibn Maktum. And he has been mentioned, not by name, but has been mentioned in the Quran because of an incident. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was having an important meeting to invite some leaders to Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting, having this gathering. He feels these are, you know, relatively important people. And this is an opportunity that he does not want to lose. And he wants to take every moment to explain Islam to them and invite them towards Islam. Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu was visually impaired. He was blind. He was not able to see. And he had a question that he really wanted to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this was a question that had to do with Islam, with his deen. And he was very sincere in his heart, and he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loved the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he wanted, you know, he had this urge to get this guidance as soon as possible. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is having this gathering, this meeting, and Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu storms in to ask this question from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Of course, he cannot see what is actually going on. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not say anything to him to reprimand him. He did not respond by doing anything harsh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam frowned. What did he do? He frowned. He made a facial expression showing displeasure because of the fact that he was interrupted during this important meeting. And because of that frown, the verses of the Quran were revealed. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. Right? That he turned away and he frowned when the blind man came to him. And the Prophet ﷺ took that very, very seriously. And in later years, And this is an example, a testament to the humility of the Prophet ﷺ, that he often greeted Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu with these words of humility, that welcome unto him on whose account my sustainer has rebuked me. Welcome unto him on whose account my sustainer has rebuked me. So even a frown was not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it came to dealing with someone who was going through a challenge, a disability. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually appointed Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu in charge of Madinatul Munawwarah in his absence on numerous occasions, including when he went out to conquer Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was away, gone to Mecca for the conquest of Mecca, and there needed to be someone in charge of Medina. And even though he was visually impaired, Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu was actually made responsible during the absence of the Prophet ﷺ. There was a companion by the name of Julaybib who was basically seen as a social outcast due to his disabilities, which are not actually described in specific terms, but it appears from what we read that he was of significantly short stature, and he may have possibly had some other physical differences as well. And the Prophet ﷺ took special care of this man, even going to great lengths to arrange a marriage for him. And then he fought in a battle in which he fought very heroically and passed away, and no one noticed that he was missing except for the Prophet ﷺ, who mourned his loss and said regarding Julaybib that he is of me and I am of him. So once again we see that the approach of the Prophet ﷺ was to look out for those who may be in need of assistance. One of the sons of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, by the name of Aban, he was his son and he was hearing impaired. He was deaf and had a squint and leprosy as well, and was affected by paralysis on one side of his body. And he was also a scholar who was well versed in hadith and fiqh, and was appointed as a governor of Medina and a judge as well. He narrates that I heard Uthman ibn Affan, his father, radiallahu anhu, say that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if anyone says three times, Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim, meaning in the name of Allah, when whose name is mentioned, nothing on earth or in heaven can cause harm, and he is the hearer and the knower. So he said, if anyone recites this three times, he will not suffer a sudden affliction till the morning. He will not suffer a sudden affliction till the morning. And if anyone says this in the morning, this dua three times, he will not suffer a sudden affliction till the evening. Now, as I mentioned, Aban was afflicted by some paralysis. He was afflicted by some paralysis, and when a man who heard the tradition, who heard this hadith being narrated by him, began to look at him, because here he is narrating this hadith about this dua which will grant protection against sudden afflictions if it is recited three times in the morning and the evening, but he himself is suffering from paralysis. So this man started looking at him. So he said to him, "Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me? I swear by Allah, I did not tell a lie about Uthman, nor did Uthman tell a lie about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that the day when I was afflicted by it, I became angry and forgot to say them. The day that I was afflicted, I became angry and I forgot to follow this advice, forgot to recite this dua, and that was the day that I was afflicted by this difficulty." This is recorded by Abu Dawood, and it's graded as being sahih. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, also known to walk with a limp, also paralyzed. He was a man of great knowledge and taqwa, of course, who actually became the mufti of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So my brothers and sisters, you know, these are just a few examples of some of, you know, the prominent figures from our history, from the Islamic history, from the early times. And of course, there must be many more. but just a few who indicate to us, right, whose examples and whose stories tell us that they were actually taken care of by the Prophet ﷺ, were given opportunities to flourish, to work, and to put into use the other strengths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed them with. And the disability that they were experiencing was not something that held them back. Today, we find an effort to increase accessibility. So for example, businesses have to conform by December 31st to new provincial regulations regarding accessibility in their businesses and workplaces. And this is in the spirit of Islamic teachings, that we try to make our community and our society accessible to all people, regardless of the challenges that they may face. And we need to adopt this as our attitude as well. So my brothers and sisters, let us try to be considerate. Let us try to be inclusive and respectful. And I know sometimes we don't intend to be rude. We don't intend to leave people out. But because we are not going through that situation, we don't know how it feels and we forget. We forget. Or we just don't realize that perhaps we are not being inclusive, or perhaps we are not being respectful. A simple example I often give, and not so much a problem here, alhamdulillah, but a lot of times when we go to mosque, to masajid, we find the entranceways blocked with shoes. It's a simple thing. Picking up shoes, putting them to the side, putting them on the shelf. But the shoes are left, and if someone comes in on a wheelchair, for example, or with a walker, or with a cane or crutches, it can pose difficulty to them. Right? So just simple little things. Try and think about others and how our own actions may be creating difficulties for others, and be respectful and be considerate. You know, just give people, it's not pity that they need or that they want, but it's just dignity, right? Human dignity. Just treat others regardless of who they are and regardless of how they are, regardless of the disability that they may have or may not have. Just treat everyone with respect and dignity. Don't shun people. Don't turn away from people. Don't be afraid of people simply because they have a challenge. And be understanding. You know, sometimes we find, I say, there's a child who's running around and making noise, who's not behaving appropriately in a setting like in a masjid or during a prayer. Right? There may be a reason for that. There may be a reason for that. The child may have been diagnosed with something. Sometimes children are autistic, or you know, they have different challenges that they may be facing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring ease to them and their families. And the behavior cannot always be controlled. So be understanding and give people the benefit of the doubt and try to be helpful. And support individuals and support efforts to address members of our community and our society who are suffering and who have disabilities. So for example, we have the Canadian Association of Muslims with Disabilities, CANDI.ca, the website, who's doing some great work. Ihsan Community Services here in Ottawa, also serving Muslims with disabilities. I'll end with a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said that the doors of goodness are many. The doors of goodness. إِنَّ أَبْوَابَ الْخَيْرِ لَكَثِيرَةً. The doors of goodness are many. التسبيح والتحميد والتكبير والتهليل. You know, saying glory to God, subhanallah, praise be to God, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You know, there is no deity but God, la ilaha illallah. Enjoining good, forbidding evil. These are all forms of doing good. Removing harm from the road, a way of doing good. Listening to the deaf until you understand them. Trying to understand what a deaf person is trying to express, or someone who is mute is trying to express. This is an act of goodness. Leading the blind, if you find someone who is not able to see, and guiding them, this is also an act of goodness. Guiding one to the object of his need. Hurrying with the strength of one's legs. If Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you with strong legs, hurrying with the strength of one's legs to one in sorrow who is asking for help. Someone who is in need, who does not have strong arms and legs, perhaps as you do. Supporting the weak with the strength of one's arms, all of these are forms of charity prescribed to you. So brothers and sisters, let us be aware, let us try to look out for our brothers and sisters and our fellow human beings who may be in need of assistance and support efforts and organizations that are doing their part to help these various segments of our community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah azza wa jal help all of those who are in need. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the situation easy for them and their family members. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. One new thing that we're trying to do inshaAllah today is have a summary of this talk that can be taken home and that has the dua.